Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
How many people are excited to be in church today? How many people just love the worship team? And Matt, all the guys, man, if you're sitting here today or if you're out at East Campus, shout out to the East Campus. Where you at? They're going to be watching this, and it's awesome. If you're sitting around and you're like, I can actually sing, or I play an instrument, or I can contribute some way, it would be so awesome if you like made yourself known to one of the worship team, and you do like a little audition so we can just check. Because I know I can sing. The problem is everybody around me doesn't know what I know. They don't believe what the reality that Sam Picken is actually an incredible vocalist. No, I actually can't sing. Wouldn't it be awesome to get on stage and be used by God in that way? Isn't that awesome? Pastor Katie, the queen of segues. The queen of segues. She, it's so awesome. She's like, and speaking of segues, Mark Bone. I was like, how do you, so I don't know how that works. Because you just rolled on in here on stage and that's a segue, right? Nope. Okay. Not going anywhere. This is falling flat. 9 a.m. service. I know at the 10:30 at East Campus, you're much more alive. The 9 a.m. here at West is just catching up, and that's okay. But Mark, you did an awesome job in the offering message. Right now, come on, clap Mark Bone. And we're in this thing right now called Test the Tenth, which for those of you that have never tithed before or you've struggled with the idea of tithing, and God wants to create a God story in your life and in your finances. And if you haven't seen Him move in your finances, we're going through this thing right now for 10 weeks that you would test God when it comes to tithing, as you treat Him as Lord and you treat Him as Jehovah and you put your finances in His hands, God moves in your life. He does. And it's the one place in the Bible where He says, test me on this. And we have seen story after, so I'm going to tell a story tonight at the all-in service. So be here at West Campus tonight for the 6 p.m. all-in service. It's going to be really awesome. I got carrying two words in my spirit today and just really excited about what's going on. How many people love conference last week? Wasn't it awesome? Wasn't it awesome? Man, God really took this church to a new level, really took people to a new level. It was definitely about growth. Talking about seed, that you are a seed and that God is giving you the ability to develop and grow and move to a new level, and that we got to work what He gives us, and we got to move in the Word of God that comes in our life. And if you do that, if you act out on faith with what God gives you in seed form, then it becomes something greater, something bigger, grows into something that bears fruit, grows into something that you can use, that you can see. God gives you the seed and the vision to turn that seed into something wonderful, something great. Your calling, your plan, the plan He has for you, the future before you. And I love that we can come together in a place like conference and experience such awesome stuff. And if you missed it and you're experiencing some FOMO, don't worry. You can go to c3canadaconference.com, and I think for $50 you can buy all the 12 sessions on video plus all the 10 masterclasses. You can get that, and then you can, you know, go and relive it all. Even if you were there, you want to like just make sure that stuff doesn't fade away. How many people go to church like on a Sunday and then you find, you know, by Sunday night at 11 p.m. it's just faded away. You went and you looked at your bank account and you're like, oh, right. That's the reality I live in. You know, it's not what I heard in church today, but don't let the Word of God fade away. Let the Word of God work in your life. And there's lots of exciting stuff going on, isn't there? That Matthew House run, how good is that? We're supporting through Love Toronto Matthew House. Sign up for that. I hear the 5K is filling up fast. So if you want to support a cause and not kill yourself by having to run a marathon, you want to sign up quickly for the 5K. Because there's a 5K, there's a half marathon. How long's a marathon? 42 kilometers? Yep, sign up quickly. God help you. I know. It's red plaid day today. Because it's the fall. How many people at East Campus are wearing red plaid today? Spray themselves with a little bit of pumpkin spice. Anyone do that? You guys just want me to preach the Bible, don't you? You're like, what the heck are you talking about? I'm waiting for you to give me some feedback. Because unless you shout me down, unless you amen me in a certain way, I start talking down rabbit trails that are going to just bore you. If you want to have a good experience in church, say amen. Amen. That's better. That's what I'm talking about. Just helping the culture, Pastor Jess. All right, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Somewhere around about the middle. If you split the Bible in half, it's basically Proverbs. And man, it's exciting here today. We're starting a brand new series called Homegrown. Somebody say Homegrown. Homegrown. This is exciting. Get excited. And but what this is that when we come to church, it's great that we experience certain encouragements and the Word of God in church, but real growth does happen between Sundays. You might be inspired at conference, but the dividends from an experience at conference might be short-lived if we don't learn how to be Christians at home, if we don't learn how to grow at home. And so we can dig in when it comes to coming here at church, but I want you to know and I want you to learn that digging at home is important. Seeking God at home is important. Pursuing Jesus at home is important. That the growth in your Christian life happens at home. That it does happen at church, but it can't only happen at church. And if we rely on the church and connect group, how many people are going to connect groups? East Connect Groups, going and checking out Connect Groups, and that's awesome. But you go to church and you go to Connect Group, and if you rely on just those moments for you to grow, you're selling yourself short. You're selling the opportunity of God short. You're selling the Word of God short. But pursuing Jesus and pursuing the growth and the potential that you have to fulfill the call of God on your life. And do you know that you're called by God? Do you know that He has amazing things to fulfill through you, through your life? But a lot of us are unsure or don't really know, you know, like how to grow at home. That we come and it all seems to make sense when we're here on Sunday. And then on Monday, we're like, wait, okay, so what do I do? And like, where? How do I like understand the Bible and what the heck's going on? So this series is teaching us about that we grow at home, and you do grow at the house that you're in. The church of God is the house, and you've got to plant into the house. And so we're going to talk about this, about fulfilling life and making sure that life is being fulfilled as we learn to grow in our own faith. Somebody say own faith. You got to own your faith. All right. Proverbs chapter 2. You there? This is exciting. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the East Campus. Thank you, Jesus, for 9 a.m. West, Lord God. And we just thank you so much for what you're doing in the house. And God, we come before you with expectation and anticipation in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2. Here we go. My son, this is about wisdom. Proverbs is the wisdom book. My son, if you accept my words, a lot of people reject the Bible. This is all conditional. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you. It's hard to store up the commands of God and the words through the Bible if you only go to the Bible on Sunday. If you want to store up the commands of Scripture, you might need to read some Scripture midweek. Somebody say, homegrown. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you. A lot of people face the devil in life and they go to the bank account of their spirit to pull out the sword of the spirit and they pull out a butter knife. Because there's nothing stored up in there. When he comes at you, you want to have something bigger than a shank. Store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart. Applying your heart means to soften our heart in a humble way to be teachable. Can we learn something new? Can we go to the Bible with open eyes and a soft heart? Where it says soften heart, it means casting a dragnet. And so many of us store up the wisdom of the world, because I don't know if you know this, but you constantly have a dragnet of storing up information through your Monday to Sunday. You're constantly dragging a net through life, bringing on the wisdom of humanity, bringing on the wisdom of the world, bringing on the wisdom of the last self-help book that you read, bringing on the wisdom of popular opinion. But how many are softening our hearts and taking the dragnet of our heart through the Word of God and storing up the truth out of Scripture? How many of us are actually doing that and allowing our hearts to be filled at home, homegrown? Somebody say homegrown. So you don't like this message because it requires something of us. But I'm not interested in what you like. I'm interested in what's going to help you and what's going to feed you and what's going to help you fulfill the life that God has for you. Amen. Applying your heart. Apply that dragnet to the Word of God and memorize Scripture and understand the Word of God. This is awesome, man. This is good preaching. Indeed, if, somebody say if. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if. And if, somebody say if you look out for silver and search for hidden treasure, like the treasure in the field, that when a man saw that there was treasure in the field, he buried it again, he went away, and he sold all that he had and bought the field in order to have the treasure. Many people don't even understand what's under the surface of these words. And when you first look at a field, it just looks like a field. It looks ordinary. But it takes what you got to do to get the treasure from underneath what's ordinary is you got to dig a little bit of it. Somebody say dig. We got to learn that you have the shovel. You have the tools. You have the ability to be able to dig in your own Christian faith. And what you dig up will be more valuable to you than somebody digging and handing it to you. Have you ever been handed something precious or given something precious? And it's like, because you didn't pay for it, it wasn't that precious to you. A free meal. You might go to the finest restaurant in the city. If you didn't pay for the bill, if somebody shouted, you might appreciate the food, but if you've never been able to dine anywhere but McDonald's, and then you finally have worked your way through life that you can go to a fine restaurant and pay for the bill yourself, then all of a sudden you're starting to savor every flavor, and that flavor is starting to make a difference in your life because it costs you something. And some people in Christianity listen to podcasts and listen to great preaching, and they listen to what other people have dug up, but because they haven't dug up anything of themselves, all they see when they read the Bible is an ordinary field, and they never go below the surface to dig up anything of value. Somebody say homegrown. You got to dig. You got to dig. It takes effort. Digging isn't easy. Might take a little bit of a spiritual sweat to get out of the Scripture, to get out what's buried underneath. But when you find what's buried underneath, it will stay with you for eternity. Cry aloud, if you look for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He holds success in store for you seeking him. And this word success means wisdom that works. Is anybody frustrated in applying some sense of knowledge and human strategy and it doesn't work? Why does life hit a brick wall every time? Why do I apply some sense of wisdom and it doesn't work? Why do I go through this same trial over and over? Why am I in perpetual Christian frustration? Because there is only one true wisdom that works, and it's the wisdom that comes out of fearing the Lord, and fearing the Lord comes from being in relationship with Jesus. True wisdom, perfect wisdom, is in Christ alone. You can try and apply anything to your life, and it may work a little bit, or it seldom will work, but if you apply Christ, if you see Christ, if you go to Jesus, in Jesus, everything comes out of Jesus. Everything, perfect wisdom, comes out of pursuing and seeking Christ. And when you apply Christ to life, it is the wisdom that generates success. Pastor Sam, I want to live my full calling in my life. Pastor Sam, I want to fulfill everything that God has for me to do. Pastor Sam, I don't know how to answer all the question marks, but I've got this picture of what God wants for my life. Well, I'm telling you the secret. I'm telling you how to grow to that place of success. I'm telling you how to get to the end and say that you ran your race well, that you finished well. Somebody at East Campus, I hope you're getting excited about this, because I'm giving you the secret to fulfill your calling, and the secret is Jesus Christ. But somebody can't pursue Jesus for you. You got to pursue Jesus for yourself. I'm preaching it to those cameras because 9 a.m. ain't happy about what I'm saying. So I'm going to preach down there and I'm just going to believe that East Campus is standing to their feet and they're excited about fulfilling what God has for their life. Pursuing Jesus. That's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is understanding that you can lend your understanding to anything else, but it will fall flat in eternity because Jesus is the one. All of life, all of wisdom, all of understanding comes out of the heart of Christ. Amen. Amen. Homegrown. He is a shield. Anybody hate that what they set up gets stolen from them? He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just, verse 8, and protects the way of his faithful ones. Of his faithful ones. He guards, he protects, and he is a shield. Man, I have worked too hard. I don't know about you. I have pursued too long. I don't know about you. I've come out of too far of a down place. I've come out of too deep of a pit. I don't know about you, to see it stolen, to see it be taken away, to see somebody come, see the enemy come into my life like the thief that comes to steal. I've come too far. I have fought too hard to let anything but the protection and the guarding of Jesus all over my stuff. And it says, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. This sounds like some other verses that I've read. If you meditate on the book of the law day and night, then you will make your way prosperous and successful. It reminds me of Psalms chapter 1 where it says, as a tree is planted, as its roots go down, that its leaves won't wither, but it will bear fruit in and out of season. That's the type of life I want. That's the type of life I know this church wants. That's the type of life I know you want. I know you want to be someone that understands that growth will actually grow, and then I'll go from strength to strength. I will be at the head and not the tail. I want my life, and I know you want your life to go from one strength to another strength, and you don't want to let what you've worked so hard for be stolen by anything else, and this is the secret. How to grow it. To grow at home, to seek God for ourselves, to pursue God for ourselves instead of spoon-fed, baby, teat-sucking, immature Christians. Am I allowed to preach this way? But what I see when I look at this church, what I see when I look at the future of this church, I see mature, robust, strong, giant slaying, devil shaking, hell's gates breaking. I see these type Christians. These aren't baby Christians. These aren't lukewarm Christians. These are people that have grown at home, that seek God for themselves, that dig through a field, that worship God in the spite of trial, that understand am, that I can search through this thing and I'll find something of substance. I'll find something of value, because nobody built my faith. I went to my own Lord. I went to my own Savior, and I built my own faith in Jesus Christ. I was grown at home, baby. Nobody made this. I sought God for myself. I found the treasure for myself. I pursued Jesus. Why? Because I'm a New Testament believer. And that brings me to point one. Segue. Thank you, Pastor Katie. New Testament Christianity is DIY Christianity. This is a positive and a negative all at the same time. The positive is Jesus tore the veil, and we no longer need a high priest that's going to stand before Christ for our lazy Christianity. But the problem is now no one's doing it for me. New Testament Christianity, when Jesus said that he made a way, when it didn't have to be the high priest anymore, it meant that I am pursuing Jesus for myself. And now that's a beautiful thing. That means that you can have an unhindered relationship with the Holy Spirit. The problem is the Holy Spirit's right there, but very few Christians actually have a relationship with him. We know about him. We get it. By pursuing Jesus, seeking God, I don't know about your prayer life, but waking up in the morning, seeking God, pursuing God, sometimes it's not that easy. And if there's one thing that the enemy doesn't want you to have, is a relationship with Jesus. Because when you're pursuing Jesus and you're seeking Jesus and you are actually hungry after the things of God, he'll try and put anything in your way that you would walk away from somebody encouraging you that you have a personal faith with Jesus and that you can do it yourself. There'll be lies like you don't have what it takes or you're not good enough. But I'm telling you that New Testament Christianity is DIY Christianity. If you, somebody say if. That could be the title of the message if we made one up right now. If you seek, that's a great title. If you dig, that's another good one. If, just by itself, IF. I was a lazy student at school, at high school. I was a C, I'm being generous to myself now. I was a C plus student. Actually, no, I wasn't. I was probably less than that. But here's the thing, is like I value like efficiency and, and ease and an easy path. But so I used to do all my homework in the lesson at school. I hated the idea of homework. I mean, I'm at school for like 7 hours and now I have to leave school and go do homework at home. Like, did anyone else ever complain about that? But then I would be perplexed as to why I was never as good in the testing and in the grading as the A-plus students. Because they're the ones that went to the lesson at school and then went home and did the homework. You know, I used to play drums, and I'm pretty sure I could hold a beat now. It's been a long time. And I would go to a Monday night drum lesson every single Monday night. And I would go and I would play and I would have a lesson book, and there would be like rhythms and different things written out in that book that I would have to practice. And if I rehearsed these things and did these things at home, then I would improve and I would become more successful as a drummer. And so I knew this, and then but so many times I would get to the lesson and you don't even understand how it happens. You just pull the book out and you realize the book has not moved the entire week. And I would open it up. My teacher like knew. It's like she put like, I don't know, some sort of like tab or something that was creased the right way to just tell whether I had opened up the book or not. But I know my teacher well enough that she knew by the way I was playing the following week meant that I had not done any work at home. I hadn't homegrown. And she would say this. She'd say, Sam, We can't do your homework in the lesson. And I would say to C3 Toronto, if you expect to do the homework on Sunday, Sunday's the lesson. You get the lesson, but take it home and do the homework. If you want to grow, you've got to take away from the lesson and you've got to go home and you've got to pursue Jesus for yourself. I can't pursue Jesus for you. I love that verse in Matthew chapter 7 that says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will open to you. But too many people want the pastor at church to be the one that asks and seeks and knocks for their laziness. But it's time that somebody asked, and when you receive that revelation, on this church, on this revelation, Jesus will build his church. If you want to find something of value, seek for it yourself. If you want to see a door open in your life, too many people just want doors to, I pray to the Lord. I pray to the Lord for the open door. Give me the open door. God wants you to knock. God wants you to knock on every closed door so that you can see something open, because when you know that God opened a door for you, then you get a testimony. And my Bible says is that there is power in your testimony. Too many people don't have open door testimonies because they've never decided to knock on anything. I can't ask, seek, and knock for you. That's you. Matthew 7 is in your world. But when you do it, when you ask, my Bible says is that you will receive. And when you seek, my Bible says you will find. Not you might find. No, it's not. Jesus wants to be found. He's like just waiting. He's waiting for you to pursue him. He's waiting for you to find him. He wants to be found. He wants to give you that revelation. He wants to give you that. No, he wants to give you that wisdom. He wants to give you that God-fearing strategy that you know didn't come from earth. You know it didn't come from TED Talks. You know it didn't come from self-help stuff. You know it come from heaven. And when you know something come from heaven, then you get the courage to go and walk that way. You get the courage to step that way, and you get this unstoppability about you when you've grown in a robust, mature way by being homegrown. Somebody say homegrown. Seeking Jesus, like Philippians chapter 3 verse 8 in the New Living Translation says this: everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ. For his sake I discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage that I could gain Christ. I'm preaching to a hungry room right now. I'm preaching to a room that wants to gain Christ. I can't gain Christ for you. I wish I could. It would frustrate me to see you going through a battle that you don't have to go through, because I've gained Christ in that way, but you haven't gained Christ in that way. Gain Christ. Get hungry for Jesus. Growing at home and having your own home personal relationship with Jesus starts with hunger. And I want to tell you, the more that you spiritually eat, the more spiritually hungry you get. The more that you taste and see that the Lord is good, the more you want to eat. Second point, my last point, seek God with everything. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29 says, from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him. Somebody say, if. If you search for him with all your heart and soul. If you. You will find him if you. You will find him if you. You will, if you, if you, if you, if you search for him with all your heart. There are too many half-hearted Christians that are not seeking Jesus with all their heart. The word seek means endeavor to find. But when you... Let me just talk to East Campus right now. When you seek Jesus and the energy it takes to find it, when you find him, you will find you. You will see the value. You will discover. It will be like an exhale of, yes, I found it. When you find this revelation, if it takes you a day to find it, if you fast for 3 days and then you find it, I remember that I needed to get to a place where I needed to value what can be found. And if we think that all the Christian podcasts around the world, and there are so many amazing Christian podcasts around the world, and we just get fed. We live in an era right now where it's so beautiful and so easy, the amount of Christian literature, the amount of resources that are out there, but what it creates is it creates a way to just gain something valuable easily. But I've found that when something is hard to find, I value it more. Especially if in the first place I knew that it was valuable. This past week, it's Pastor Jess and I's, I'll get the keyboard up. It's Pastor Jess and I's 11th wedding anniversary this coming week, which is awesome. Yeah, oh, thanks. Appreciate it. And for our 10th anniversary, I bought Jess a necklace. And, you know, and it represents like how far we've come because it's actually her first piece of Tiffany's jewelry. And I'm not saying that to brag or anything. I mean, we just know how far we've come in 10 years. And so I decided to do that. But the problem with valuable things around immaturity, aka a four-year-old, is they don't understand its value. So they don't treat it like you would treat it. So Noah's standing there with this Tiffany's necklace and he's swinging it around his finger. And then it zips off his finger and flies through our bedroom and it's gone. It's gone. This necklace is nowhere to be found. Now she's wearing it right now, so you know we found it. So breathe easy. But it's gone. And now we've tried to teach Noah and we've celebrated his honesty. So we know that when he's talking to us and telling us what happened, it's pretty close to the truth from what he could muster up. He's such an honest kid and I'm so grateful for that. So we would ask him, we'd be like, buddy, come here. Where's mommy's necklace? And then he'd explain to it. He's like, I was flinging it around like he did with his other chain that cost us like a dollar. And it went, and then he would explain, it went like in this path, and he's like doing this. It went like in this path, in this path. And so we're searching everywhere for like the entire week, like, and we're out, and I'm like, babe, listen, like, you know, whatever, like, you know, we haven't found it. And I can tell that it's distressing Jess. Like, she doesn't know, she doesn't want to talk about it. It's like, it's distressing her. And she says, I'm going to do anything and I'm going to turn that room upside down until I find that necklace. You know it's valuable. I'm going to do anything. It's going to take energy to pray. It's going to take energy to memorize verses, to read the Bible. It's going to take some effort. If you're in this place of thinking, I'm just going to get this and I'm going to read one verse and it's going to change my life. And it's like so easy. The more that I pursue God, the harder pursuing Him becomes. Because He wants me to find something deeper. He wants me to grow further. He wants my roots to go down deeper. And we eventually, it was exactly where Noah was saying, and it had fallen underneath the baseboard behind the hardwood flooring into this tiny little gap. And there was we actually prayed to find it, and there was a little tiny piece of chain. I had to get a pair of tweezers and I pulled it out. And the sense of like exhale and relief when you find what you've been looking for. That's it. Jess is shaking. She puts it on. It's like, I feel complete now. Like, you are so surface level, superficial woman. No, but she's like, I feel so, and when you've been searching, and even if you don't know what you were searching for, and His name is Jesus, and in the moment of revelation, it could have been conference last weekend, it could be this, in that moment, and you find it. And your spirit, I don't know if you know this, because when God created Adam, He breathed His spirit into you. And your spirit has never stopped searching Jesus ever since. And when your spirit that's constantly searching after God finds what is valuable, Everything makes sense. You're like, right, that's what I need to do. Right, that's why I exist. Right, that's why, that's my place in eternity. Right, that's my identity. Right, I understand every relationship. Right, I understand how to forgive. Right, I get it. And you, and that sense of revelation from seeking God at home to just, to, yeah, it was frustrating to pursue through this trial. It was frustrating to get through that giant. It was frustrating to plow through that dirt, to dig to find gold, to search through whatever I needed to search through to find. But what, now that I've found it, it is with me forever. And I know, like, now Jess puts it up, puts a necklace up really high, and you know, she puts it in a vault, and there's like laser beams around it. But when you find Jesus, because you searched for that infinite wisdom, because you fear God in your life, you will value it, you will guard it, that becomes precious to you. Somebody may say to you, do you know God's a liar? And you're like, no, I know that he's not a liar, because I am homegrown, baby, because I've searched for him, because I've gone there, because I've dug through it. You don't know what I needed to dig through, but I dug through it and I found him, and I value him, and you can't steal what I had to find. You can't steal what I've now received. You can't steal it. I know how I built this business. I know how I established this marriage. I know how I raised these kids. I did it because I sought after Christ. I seeked him with all my heart. And now, because I've done that with all my heart, now you can't steal from me what is most precious and most valuable to me. If we build our lives that way, if we build this church that way, it will have so much eternal value. This place will be unstoppable. This place, somebody give God some praise. Somebody give God some praise. Father, let's just pray right now. Father God, I thank you, Jesus, that you are precious. I thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that we are New Testament Christians, that you call us to seek you, that you may be found. You call us to ask of you, that we may hear the word. You call us, Jesus, and I thank you that you want to be found. I thank you for every person that is going to adjust their calendar, for every person that's going to adjust their prayer life, for every person that is going to say, I can't answer it all, I can't work it all out, but I know one thing after today is that I am going to dig, I am going to find, I am going to seek, and I am going to discover something of eternal value, something of infinite wisdom, something of great preciousness in my relationship with Jesus. Amen. Amen.